Our first lesson today comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verses 20 to 33. Then the Lord said, "How great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave their sin. I must go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again, he spoke to him, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found." Nance Thompson must have been involved in this. He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak just once more. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place.
It's great to be back, everyone. I guess I left here in 2008. I can't believe it. I haven't aged, though. That hasn't happened. But it's wonderful. Let us hear God's word for us from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, know how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him." The word of God for the people of God. When I was in elementary school, the principal, Sister Catherine Marie, once said to me, "Angela, God answers all prayers, but sometimes God says no." Similarly, years later, when I took a course on healing prayer, the teacher said to me, "God answers all prayers, but not always in the way we expect." Now, these answers are pretty much in agreement with scholarly interpretations of the gospel readings. Almost every article I've read about this text said the same thing. "Ask and you shall receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you." It's true, but we must understand it in the context of the Lord's Prayer. It does not mean, then, that God is an ATM machine, and you put in your prayer request, punch in the right PIN number, and your request is granted. The world is not a wish-granting factory, says one of the characters in John Green's wonderful book, The Fault in Our Stars, about two teenagers living with cancer. Rather, scholars agree that Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God. Ask for the kingdom to be realized, seek it out, and you will find it. Knock on its door, and it will be open to you. And the little parable Jesus uses to illustrate this is, be persistent, and the kingdom of God will be given unto you. Isn't that how the hymn goes? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. And I do think there is truth to this, because the Lord's Prayer begins, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Jesus seems to suggest that what we are asking for, seeking, is God's dream for us and for the world. And indeed, this may be the case. But I have to admit, it's not very satisfying, is it? Because if prayer is just about the kingdom, why pray? You could make an argument, right? Why do we gather each week during joys and concerns and ask for our needs or the needs of others to be met if it's simply a futile exercise? Well, the truth is, I have no answer to this question. I wrestle with it every day, especially in the work that I'm doing now. On one level, I don't believe that God is an ATM machine, a person with supernatural powers granting some requests and not others. But in fact, sometimes miracles I've witnessed, and I have witnessed some, bring about more questions. For example, why was one 17-year-old child spared while at the same time, in the same exact hour, another died? Why did my request come true and not another's? This was the quandary that led the retired Bishop Spong of the Episcopal Church to give up completely the notion of a wish-granting God. Instead, he wonders, can God, for example, be conceived of not as a supernatural person, but as a force present in me and flowing through me? Then perhaps prayer can be transformed into meditation, and intercessory prayer becomes a call to action. The spiritual life for him, then, is transformed from the activity of a child seeking the approval of a supernatural being to being a simultaneous journey into self-discovery and into the mystery of God. It also feeds my sense of growing into oneness with the source of all life and love, with what his mentor, Paul Tillich, called the ground of all being. It would take a book to fill in the blank places in this quick analysis, he continues. But these are the things that today feed my ever-deepening discovery of the meaning of prayer. Now, this way of thinking does make sense. My spiritual director, I'm still with him, those of you who remember, Don Bisson, has a similar view. I remember asking him one of my why questions. Why is this happening? And he says, have you ever noticed that God never answers the why questions? Ever. And Don's response is always the same. I have no idea, and perhaps God doesn't either. And I said, what? What do you mean God doesn't either? I need God to know at least. If I'm honest, both responses are difficult to accept. In the face of unknowing, in the face of whatever mountain is before us, in the face of uncertain chaos, that we need to believe that there is a force beyond us. Well, I need to believe that there's a force beyond us that has everything under control. Isn't that what a supreme being is for? I think this is why so many people respond to what's happening in their lives with the belief that it's God's will, or I trust God has a plan. I hear that daily when I'm making my rounds in the hospital. But I wonder, can it ever be God's will or a plan for a child to die? Can it ever be God's will for us to suffer? Do we imperfect humans ever want to see those we love in pain, especially to learn a lesson? Of course not. Whatever we believe about prayer, the important thing to remember is the importance of prayer itself. There is absolutely nothing wrong with asking God for what we need. There is nothing wrong with bargaining with God. It's a natural response to whatever out-of-control situation we find ourselves in. It's also one of the stages of grief, bargaining. I have invoked the intercessions of Jesus, Mary, my ancestors, the saints. It's hard to let go of my Catholicism. And sometimes I've gotten my request and my gratitude is real, and sometimes I haven't. Sometimes there are no set answers to be given. Abraham, in the story today, thank you, Debbie, bargained with God. It's part of our biblical tradition. He was clear in his intention, logical in his argument, and persistent in his request. And I too at times have been clear in my intention, logical in my argument, and persistent in my request. And sometimes it's granted and other times it's not. Pure luck, some might say, happenstance, maybe. And yet, there is divine logic in hindsight to both unanswered and answered prayer. And I have to disagree with Spong here because I do experience God's presence and power and guidance in my life always, whether I received what I asked for or not. And the truth is, in hindsight, some of the things I asked for would not have turned out well at all. In fact, before I accepted the call here to Yorktown, I was so disappointed I did not get this other call in Summit, New Jersey. And in hindsight, that unanswered prayer was the best thing that ever happened to me. In an article in the Christian Century a while back, Stephanie Frey reflects on intercessory prayer, and I actually like what she wrote. What are we to make of these prayers? It's easy to think that we've not been doing it right, not praying hard enough, not using the right words, or that perhaps God has enough to do with just holding the planets in their orbits and the stars in their courses. In the Lord's Prayer, however, we glimpse a God who loves us enough to give us what we need rather than what we want. Here we discover a God who has shaped us in the divine image and for a godly purpose rather than for our own cravings. I can think of no one other than Jesus who actually encourages us to be annoying with God. Jesus invites, commands us to be as shameless and irritating in our prayers as that noisy neighbor at midnight. We should persist, he says, until prayer becomes the ongoing conversation between us, God's creatures, and the Creator. Then we will never come away empty-handed. We will never come away empty-handed from prayer because even if we wind up with none of the things on our wish list, the things we thought we needed, we will always wind up with God listening, attending, and answering our prayers in ways we hadn't even imagined. The other day, I read a wonderful quote from Martin Luther, "Pray and let God worry." It's like the image I often use when I'm feeling overwhelmed. I think of a tangled ball of yarn that I'm trying to disentangle, and I imagine myself as a child handing the yarn to my mother God and then going out and play. There you have it. No clear-cut answers. Sorry. I fear I am still a believer in the power of intercessory prayer, even as I agree with a school of thought espoused by Spong, who does not see God as a wish-granting factory. And I think this is okay. Because to me, intercessory prayer engages us and keeps us in conversation with the ground of our being, the source of our life. And most of all, it keeps hope alive. It keeps it alive within us, and we need hope these days. Sometimes we need hope just to get out of bed in the morning. Because hope, I read once, is not a lottery ticket you can sit on the sofa and clutch, feeling lucky. It's an axe you break down doors with in an emergency. Think about that image of hope. To hope is to give yourself to the future. And that commitment to the future is what makes the present bearable. I do, though, try to pray now with a more open mind. Something like, "I know, divine love, that you know what I need, and so I allow you to work in, with, and through me." But because I'm human, with a human ego, I often throw in my bargaining piece. "But if you want my opinion..." And so, let us pray for what is heavy on our hearts always. Let us hope we get what we want, or at the very least, what we need. Let us remain logical in our petitions like Abraham, and persistent in our prayer like the noisy neighbor at midnight. And in our better moments, may we trust and remember that whatever the outcome, we are loved, deeply loved, profoundly loved by our God, the ground of our being, the source of our life. May it be so. Amen.